We welcome to this program our biblical word reflection with Brother Frank, all brothers and sisters worldwide, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very grateful for the privilege of hearing God's word this morning. May the Lord bless all listeners, strengthen them in the faith, and prepare them for His soon coming. As the opening word, I read a scripture from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Here you go, Brother Frank. Thanks be to the Lord for such a precious word, which we will come to in a moment. But first, I would like to greet everyone warmly and also thank for the greetings that have been given to us. Whether it is Brother Müller at the Baltic Sea, whether it's Brother and Sister Anderson from New Zealand, whether it's Dr. Mbie from the Congo Republic, it doesn't matter. From all over the world, from everywhere, we have received greetings from those who listen in, who are blessed and experience their preparation. We may honestly and sincerely say that without the last message, we would have no ground at all under our feet of faith on which to stand. The Holy Scriptures can be read by all, in all churches, in all denominations. But the question is, where is the word for this time? And the next question is, is it not today mainly about the return of Jesus Christ and our preparation for the glorious day when the Lord will take His own home? Surely it is not enough to hold simple services, to sing, to pray, to read a word, and then commit the people to the grace of the Lord. Those who are committed to the grace of the Lord today must be made familiar with what God has promised and ordained for this time in His Word. And that is why we need to speak anew each time, that as John the Baptist brought the message, proclaimed a baptism of repentance, and proclaimed the forgiveness of sins as well. Why? He could say, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And therefore, already in view of the forgiveness that would happen, he could baptize all who believed and accepted the message he brought. In the same way, today, we only baptize people who have believed the message, but not only that, but who have recognized and believed that the Lamb of God has shed His blood and that our sins have been forgiven. And that is why we baptize people who have received and accepted forgiveness. In a recent sermon, I heard Brother Branham said, "Too many are being baptized today who have not repented at all." And that just went to my heart, because baptism is preceded by faith, and faith is followed by repentance. Repentance is followed by baptism. If today young people are also added and go to baptism with a smile on their face, without having experienced an inner breakdown, a repentance, a deep contrition, surrendering their life to the Lord and asking for forgiveness, we must go back to the beginning. And let us say again what Brother Branham really said from the bottom of his heart. Too many are being baptized today who have not repented. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, today is about having all the biblical experiences. When the word is preached and comes to our hearts, then we come to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Whoever comes to me, I will not cast out." We have to make the right beginning in order to make a right ending, the beginning with our Lord and the end, the completion with our Lord, believing from the beginning and having all the experiences by His grace. Let us read some more scriptures. Here you go. We read from Galatians 1, verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Yes, also in this scripture, we have been told by God that everything must be proclaimed as it was proclaimed in the beginning by Peter, by Paul, by the apostles. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually proclaimed repentance first, and then baptism, and then the baptism in the Spirit. In the same way, we must do it now, and we will experience it all by grace. And as was emphasized with so much clarity and emphasis in the opening word, that the word is preached in season or out of season, in view of the fact that the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, and then also the kingdom in which we will have a share after the marriage supper. It is simply a holy earnestness in which the divine message must be preached so that all may have the opportunity to make their decision and not put it off until tomorrow. May the Lord God grant grace that we may have the same experiences of salvation with God now at the end as at the beginning. Here you go. We read from Titus 2, verse 7b and 8. Titus 2, 7b and 8. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. To this we say Amen. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, integrity, nothing must be added, nothing must be changed, everything must remain in the original. And this is what Paul and also Peter and James, the apostles, emphasized again and again. And this is what we must also emphasize in our time. The teaching that there is only one God who reveals himself for our salvation as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, through the Holy Spirit, in the redeemed church. That we do not talk about a Trinity, about three eternal persons, but that we really proclaim this holy word in uncorruptness and simply recognize by grace what God was all about in the first place, namely that we should belong to Him as sons and daughters of God. And so we have received the adoption of sons and are grateful to the Lord for it. The same is true of baptism. It is about the name in which the salvation of God is. For there is no other name given to people under heaven in which everything must be done, including baptism. For God has revealed Himself to us as Father in the Son through the Holy Spirit. But in the precious and holy covenant name, Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, all in biblical times, it is recorded in the book of Acts, right down to the epistles, that all who were baptized biblically were truly baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the gospel, the divine message of salvation, must be proclaimed unadulterated as it was proclaimed in the beginning. Here you go. We read from 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Yes, here we see what a responsibility Paul had before God. He left Timothy in Ephesus to see to it that no strange doctrines were presented. After all, the Church of the Living God is the foundation of the truth. And I dare say that no unscriptural doctrine is to be found in the Church of Jesus Christ. All has been brought back to the original. And we may emphasize it again and again that in our time God has been able to use His messenger, His servant, His prophet to bring us back to the original, to the Word of God, to the Bible doctrines, to the Apostles' teaching, to the Apostles' practice, to all that was in the beginning. And this pure divine message of salvation foreruns the second coming of Christ, and all who believe it will experience their preparation, and all who bypass it, the Lord will bypass them. Let us read on. We read from Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the testimony of the early church. The believers at the beginning continued steadfastly, without interruption, in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in the Lord's Supper, in prayers, in the intimate fellowship with God and with one another. In the same way, it must now become that the called out church is not only church, but church of Jesus Christ, the elect, the bright church of the Lamb of God, that we are brought to the state that all now hold fast to the doctrine, to the prayers, to the breaking of bread, and that all which God has restored is made manifest among us and in us, that it is not only a message we have heard, but that it can become true and divine reality in our midst, in all nations, in all languages, among all true believers. Let us read on. We read from John 7, verse 16. John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Amen. Every man of God must be able to say that. For the Lord says that whom he sends, he proclaims his word. And therefore, the question must be asked today to all preachers, to all evangelists, to all who think they are serving God and preaching the word. From whom does the doctrine you represent come? From whom does the doctrine in the Lutheran Church come? In Zwingli's Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church, in all the churches, from whom do all the teachings come? Who can say today, the doctrine I preach comes from God, comes from the Lord, comes from the early church? And therefore, brothers and sisters, it must be emphasized with such holy earnestness that this is the time in which God must have his say. All men have talked long enough, have presented their doctrines and interpretations long enough. This is the hour, this is the day, this is the time when God's word alone has the say-so, and we alone have to proclaim it. You all know what was read in the word of introduction from 2 Timothy 4. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine what I experienced early in the morning on April the 2nd, 1962? Can you imagine what it meant to have heard with these ears the mighty voice of the Lord in a commanding tone? Brothers and sisters, the Lord God Himself has called me to preach His word, to go from city to city and from country to country. And that is why Paul had to write to Timothy at that time in plain language, I charge thee before God, who will one day judge the living and the dead, preach the word. May it go to the heart of all of you and all ministering brethren in all languages who translate. May it go to the heart of all of you not to add anything more, but to pass on the pure biblical doctrine as the pure biblical food to the people of God, because that is what we have been ordained by God to do. Here you go. We read from Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. May the Lord God make this word a divine reality to all the ministering brethren throughout the earth, so that each one of us can say that we do not proclaim anything of our own, but carry the word revealed by God. After all, we did not receive it from a human being, but received it from God in order to pass it on. And that is why we want to and must emphasize these holy scriptures. And call out to everyone in the whole world, in all peoples and tongues, that we have now arrived absolutely very close to the return of Jesus Christ, and that no one is to preach his own doctrines anymore, but all are to preach the same word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that the bride church throughout the earth may be brought into the unity of faith and doctrine, as Brother Branham expressed it, brought back into lockstep, in conformity with the Word of God. Thanks be to the Lord for the end time message. Thanks be to God for His servant and prophet, whom he has sent. Thanks be to the Lord for appointing us to proclaim his precious and holy word. Who of all the preachers can say, the doctrine is not from me, but from him who sent me? Who of all in the whole world who preach today has a divine calling, a divine commission? Have they not all been in preachers' seminaries, in Bible schools? Have they not all been taught by men and continue to teach men? O God, have mercy and be gracious. Call out the chosen ones. Separate them so that they only listen to you and your word. Here you go. We read from 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Not only you who preach the word of truth, but all those who hear the word you preach and are saved and will be with you, with the Lord. Not only the true preachers, but all who have believed the true preachers will participate in the rapture. And that is why time and again in these scriptures the emphasis is placed on doctrine. True biblical doctrine is what we all need. And thanks be to the Lord that he used Paul in particular to emphasize, take heed unto the doctrine. And all of us who preach biblically would like all brothers and all sisters worldwide to believe only the biblical proclamation and thank the Lord that we now live in the time when only God may speak and only God's word may apply. Here you go. We read from Colossians 4, verse 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Thanks be to the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters, what appeals to me so much in these few words is the fact that Paul writes here, when this epistle, this letter, after all, there were letters that were written. And be honest, when a letter is written to you, you read the content. It is addressed to you. You don't leave the envelope closed after all. You open the envelope. You read the letter. And here Paul writes, when this letter is read among you, then let it be read in Laodicea. Let it be read everywhere. And that is why the letters of the apostles have been summarized, so that they are not only read by the church in Laodicea or in Paris or Rome or Berlin or Washington. These letters of the apostles have been combined into a New Testament and addressed to all of us. To you and to me, the letters are addressed, and we must read them with attention and take them to heart, because the content is addressed to us who read these apostles' letters. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Be to our Lord. We read on. We read from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 26 and 27. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 26 and 27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Again we say amen to this. Let this letter be read to all the brethren. Thanks be to the Lord God. The Apostle Paul was aware of the divine calling, of the divine responsibility, and he wanted all the letters that were written to be read, to be heeded, to be obeyed. The same is true in our time. Thanks be to our God for all the letters and for all the Old and New Testament. Let us take to heart all that God has to say to us through His Word. Here you go. We are still reading from Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Thanks be to the Lord for the earnest admonition. Have you heard? Here it has not only been said, he who reads the words of the prophecy of this book, but he who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Here we have the answer that is at stake today. Today it is not just about everyone reading, the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. Today it is about the fact that we have come to know that God has sealed this book with seven seals, and that this book has been revealed in our time. The entire Old and New Testament have been read in all these years, even in the 2000 years. But now it is about the last book of the Bible, about the book of Revelation and what is written in it. And what was written had to be revealed, because everything was presented in parables, in examples. And we all know, to this day, every theologian will confess and say, I don't want to read it again, because I don't understand anything of what is written in it. And brothers and sisters, do you know that some Bible translators did not want to include the chapters of Revelation in their Bible at all, because they could not do anything with the content? And now, when we think about it, that in the last two verses of Revelation 22, we are told, he who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, since when can we hear? Since the opening of the seals. And we have to witness it before God. Brother Branham received a direct instruction from the Lord on the 28th of February 1963 that the seals be opened, and in March 1963 they were opened. And all that we have to proclaim has been revealed by grace. And the rest that he did not speak about the seven trumpet judgments, about the seven vials of the wrath of God, about all that would still happen after the rapture, we can actually read about that. And I may say it before God, with my Bible lifted up in gratitude. Nothing that I read in the 22 chapters has remained hidden from me or has remained a mystery to me. Basically everything, really everything, has been revealed. So, today, we not only read, today we hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And as surely as God used John, his favorite disciple, and transferred him to the Isle of Patmos to receive the revelation, so surely he has given the revelation to Brother Branham in our time. And now we may do both. We may read in it, and again especially the seven church age messages. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches, and what more God has to say. Today, thanks be to God for that. We may do both. We may read and we may hear. And we are heartily grateful to the Lord for sending His servant and prophet. We have also written about it. I have also written a booklet about the book of Revelation, briefly summarizing what the Lord has revealed. Brothers and sisters, today, and I say it again from the bottom of my heart, today we may read, today we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Today is the time when the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Today is the time when the Bride says only what the Spirit has revealed from the Word. Today is the last phase before the return of Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord God that He has given us the last message, and that we can repent, be converted, be baptized, experience the renewal, the new birth, the forgiveness of our sins, all the way to being filled with the Holy Spirit. But let us also say this again clearly. How many have also had biblical experiences in past revivals, and yet they do not believe the message? Only the elect believe what God has revealed from His Word. And that is why at the end the wonderful thing is emphasized again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Thanks be to the Lord. The Bridegroom will come again to take home a prepared bride, sanctified in the word of truth. To our Lord be glory and praise forever and ever. I apologize that in my 90th year I cannot preach as freshly and cheerfully as in years past. But all who are of God will be thankful to hear the last message, believe, and accordingly experience their preparation for the glorious day. God bless you and be with you all, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.